A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Reality Gays. We're here.
We have guests.
This is the beginning of, what are we calling it? Poodle Menage.
Oh, this is the beginning of Ménage à Trois, our month of collaborations. But there's four people here, so Ménage plus one à Trois.
Our math isn't that good.
Ménage à quatre.
A quattro. A Trois.
Yes, there's four people here, and two of them are real women, so nobody's fucking anybody here.
Although, both of these are like drag versions of us.
Right. It's true.
And my name is Sean.
Your name is Sean.
It does sound like my balls just dropped, but I am a lady.
I do feel like we're sitting here with drag versions.
I have a full beard now instead of balls.
From the podcast Trailer Park Diaries and just longtime friends, Sean Pulaski, Vicky, you want me to say Babcock?
Yes,
because I
do.
Said your name was Babcock. Because
what name else was is Babcock, new? Babcock, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Instead of keeping my real stupid name of Barbalak, Babcock, I would be like famous now.
But yes, Vicky Barbalak from America's Got Talent.
AGT.
Woo! AGT.
I thought you were going to say from a trailer park in Oceanside.
Well, that too.
We're going to talk stories.
We're going to talk about that.
AGT later, Howie Mandel stories. I'm sure they've fucked.
I always say this on the podcast. So Sean, just so people can tell, because it's audio, Sean is... She's not a man. Sean, you're the one with the low voice.
No, I'm not a man. I've got
I love
giant,
it that that's a disclaimer.
Giant boobies. I'm a lady.
She's a super beautiful
She does
beautiful
have
girl.
Giant boobies and nice hips.
Yeah. Yes. Just think of like a younger, shorter Barbara Streisand.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Who just turned 80.
Oh, and poor.
Oh, poor. Very poor.
And from slightly less entitled.
And from Oklahoma.
Right. Barbara Streisand from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Wow.
That's it. You nailed it.
Sean, have you been to Arbuckle Wilderness?
The answer to that, Matt Maher, is yes. Who hasn't?
You can validate all my stories are real.
Vicky, he tells me stories, and Sean, he tells me stories about Arbuckle Wilderness. I'm like, this is a made-up place.
No.
Because I don't understand the logic or the rules that govern this state.
It's Oklahoma. There are no rules.
There are no rules.
We are home of the Tiger King. We do not screw around.
They literally got their land by beating everyone in a foot race.
Basically.
That's how they did it.
Really did you?
The land run.
Maddie, did you used to reenact that?
Yeah.
In grade school.
It was like ironically the same day as the Oklahoma City bombing, April 19th.
Well, of course. Why not? Why not? And how about we do it as the same day as the Tulsa Massacre?
Yeah.
You gotta love Oklahoma. They're like, screw it. Just combine them all in one day, okay?
In one day.
And then afterwards, we'll go to Taco Bueno. Taco Bueno.
Oh, God. Anyway, y'all,
get ready. It's like saying whatever job and career you get in life is going to be assigned by a foot race and how fast you can get there.
Pretty much.
It's amazing.
But it was total cultural appropriation.
Like, yes.
You had a choice, and this is grade school. They would reenact the land run in our grade school, and you took that whole day to dedicate it to the land run and look for your land, and you dressed up as Native Americans.
Stop it. We didn't say Native Americans.
No,
we
didn't.
We said Indians.
Indians. Or Indians.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And or pioneers. You had to like dress
pioneers,
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone looked like other. Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your mom made you a sack lunch. Like, everybody got a sack lunch that day.
Good God.
Yeah. It was very exciting.
This sounds awful.
Yeah, my matzah wouldn't even fit into it. It was really like, it was uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
Now, Vicky, are you originally from California?
I was born in Freeport, Illinois, but we moved when I was one because I had pneumonia. So the doctor said, move to a warmer climate because your baby's so sick.
Oh, really?
So
oh, put your mic up. It's like
so
a dick
parents think,
right there.
Oh, yes. And, suck that mic.
I can't help but look at that big dick book in front of you on your coffee table.
I do
but
have a big penis book,
can't
yeah.
Get it off my eyes. But yeah, so I've been in California for my entire 64 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk. Sean is a big
woman.
Retweet you. No, we retweet you and re-Instagram you a lot because you talk a lot about 90. If people are wanting
you're
to see
fan.
Like funny memes on 90
you're
Day Fiancé, follow Sean on Instagram.
Yeah,
because
I love
you're
it.
Always,
I love it.
So we're going to talk about that, but we're also, in the second half of this, we're going to talk about America's Got Talent. And
they have a new podcast together.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the new podcast. So lots to cover.
Trailer Park Diaries.
Oh, I love it. Why don't we have Poodle as our announcer?
Yes.
What are we doing?
I'll do it in a very British way, very Vincent Price.
But now, like presenting Trailer Park season. Diaries.
Oh, I like
yeah.
And y'all know each other, real quick, before we jump in, but y'all know each other how? From stand-up? Because I know both of you. I know Sean from stand-up, and then Vicky and I did a stand-up show years ago in Palm Springs. So
yeah.
How do y'all know? Well, was it stand-up?
And I met you both in the alley behind
that's
here
true.
Just
yeah,
now.
We know Jack from Bend Over.
I bought some chlamydia cure from Jake that didn't work, by the way. So if you guys are itching, don't call him. It doesn't work.
You know, Vicky, but, Vicky and I are, you know, we come from different worlds, but yet we're both messy, so we're kind of like a modern day Ab Fab.
I call it Ab Flab,
yes, if you will.
That's yeah, our Vicky, audience.
Yes, you want to tell the story.
So we met at the belly room of the Comedy Store, which you know back in the day we weren't regulars, and you're so grateful to be at the Comedy Store. And a friend of ours invited us to her show, and she said she'd buy us dinner if we did her show. We did her show, but she didn't buy us dinner. We went to a restaurant and waited for her, and she never came. But we got to know each other, and I saw Shanika for the first. I call her Shanika for the
first time.
She calls
me Shanika,
and I was so happy because there was not that many women working back then.
Yeah,
and she was so funny and made my heart so happy. And then
and I felt the same way when I saw Vicky go on stage. I was like, who is this woman who just has this killer point of view? She's just like slinging heat with one-liners. And I was like, how come I've never seen her? So she's such a character.
We had dinner, and then she's so little. And
I
like,
love that Vicky calls me little.
And I said,
I'm on Weight Watchers,
let's
Vicky.
Split the meal. Let's
Oprah
split
would
a meal.
Beg to differ.
You're so small.
Now we say
meal,
WW.
And she goes, no! And she just attacked me. And then, you know, but we became friends ever since.
I love that your whole relationship was based on a lie that someone yeah. said they would buy yeah. you food.
She didn't.
Yeah,
and
she
they
didn't.
Lied.
She didn't even show
and
up.
And you
she
became friends off of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, we're really appreciative of that.
You're both just so funny, and also I know both of your comedy well. So hilariously disgusting, and also sometimes the two of the nicest people I've ever met in stand-up comedy.
Well.
No, I mean that. So but I try to be nice when I did stand-up, and I'm also disgusting. So
yes.
I feel like that's what we come
with. Well, we're both bottoms, you know. I mean, we really want to get into that. You know, I was telling Vicky, we just...
I haven't been at top in so long.
Just taking all comers bottoms.
I just performed at a bear convention in Phoenix, and it's called Fur Fest. P-H-U-R. No, I can't make up this shit.
Phoenix Fur Fest.
P-H-U-R-F-E-S-T.
I love the way they lean into it.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're just going for it.
And I brought my Aunt Judy and Uncle Paul live in Phoenix, and they've been to Fur Fest before with me, and they love going. Aunt Judy... You know, they're my Uncle Paul's going to be 90.
Oh,
my
wow.
Aunt Judy, she would never want me to say her age.
Yes. Will
but
not.
She's fabulous and ageless. And I take them to the show. And like the minute one, I said, oh, you know, I'd like to welcome you guys to the 2022 Fur Fest Super Spreader. And then I said, when I say super spreader, I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking to you, pig bottoms. And they all erupted. And then I go, Aunt Judy, do you want to know what a pig bottom is? And Aunt Judy shook her head, yes. And all the guys were like, no. No, Aunt Judy.
My God. I have to say, you told me the story when driving over here, because I love your Aunt Judy. I personally don't know what a pig bottom is, and I speak for possibly the people in the audience.
Did this become exactly a gay educational podcast?
I'd like to know what a pig bottom is, and I think some of the other viewers would like to know as well. What is a pig bottom?
I'll take this.
Go ahead.
I'll handle this one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. Well, Vicky, it is...
Do it in a British accent.
A pig bottom is perhaps... an occasion best reserved for a man who prefers to have people coming in and out of his anus in a repeated manner. Ooh. Doesn't matter how many, it will take any, and he may be inclined to squeal like a pig when needed to.
That's why they call him
now,
pig bottom.
Well, it just means he gets down in the dirty. He likes semen. Yes. He likes fluids.
Lots of it.
Everything.
And he's not very selective.
Okay. And he's not very selective. That's the most important part of a pig bottom.
The hotel room door stays open.
Open.
I got it. Yeah. That would be our pig bottom room. Thank God. You know what, you guys, I mean, you're such gay savvy's coolness. I appreciate you looking down on the rest of us, toddlers of the gay world, and explaining the pig bottom theory.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It is a very important community.
It is a very important community.
But I just love it that everyone's sitting there. And the best thing about bear festivals, and Catherine Griffin says this too, she's like, everyone's so polite here. Everyone is lovely.
Lovely.
But in the bedroom, all politeness is off.
Yeah.
I mean, but Sean, you kind of are a gay icon.
Yes.
Hardly an icon.
A lot of gay people across the country know you.
Come on.
No, really.
Nice. Y'all, she's got
not
this.
True.
She's got a Streisand look to her.
Yeah. And it's not just a comedy. Like, you're fucking like... marching in parades. You're going to protests. Like,
she walks the walk.
Yeah. I know you because I followed you on social media. I've seen you. I've seen videos. Like, you go to bat and you have for years for your gay friends when a lot of people, when it wasn't cool.
And individually, she helps so many, you know, young people reach out to her that people know. And she's always like giving of herself, making sure that everyone's comfortable. And yeah, she's very, I mean, she's not.
Oh my gosh. Keep going. I'm definitely going into the good book.
She charges, you know, she charges like $10 for a phone
for a reach around.
She's making a reach around.
Which, you know what? I thank you for that. But again, it's not hard to be an advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. I mean, you guys make it really easy because you understand. And the reason why I'm, you know, so immersed into the community is because really my following is mostly gay men. But the whole community just has, I find for the most part, especially gay men, have a great sense of humor like you guys.
Right.
Yeah. And you can kind of get away with anything, and
we want you to get away with even crazier shit.
So many
when you go through shit, you got to learn to laugh at it.
Amen.
I think we all can agree with
one of the reasons why the gay community has. You have to learn to laugh. You have to learn to have a sense of humor, so you can laugh at the things that are painful.
Right.
So then things become doable.
Yeah. And right. And also from being outside, and like I was a fat outside kid, and all my friends, my only friends in my three different high schools I went to were gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
And as a stand up for me too. I mean, the little gay work that I got was some of the only paid work that I got for so many years. And and it's
like gay
too.
Work. Do you mean my bottoming?
My gay work was paid too.
I was a pig bottom. Yeah. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know the word.
And now you were a pig bottom for years.
I look so much like a dude that when they turned me over, they were so disappointed. I've been so mistaken for a drag queen so many times. I mean, it's so weird to me. Like, this one guy was like especially mad at me after a show once. He goes, "You led me on." Before the show, so I go, "What do you mean I led you on?" Like, you know, like I'm trying to look my best. I'm not trying to look like a drag man. I'm not trying to be like a queen trying to get gay guys to like me. I'm trying to look the best I can.
And you look beautiful.
Well, you know, it just naturally, I'm big. My dad was a football player and I have the shoulders and the big hair and I do sometimes get mistaken for a dude. Even a dog that only bites men bit me the other day. So I'm not kidding. It happens all the time.
I love the brain of a gay man, and sometimes I just I find myself thinking very similar, you know, to what is inside. Like if I'm walking with one of my gay friends and we're walking down the street and I see a guy jog by, shirtless or not or whatever, and I see him from, you know, I find that we both turn our head completely, or we both
What's
go,
his dick look
yeah,
like?
Yeah, I was like, did you see those dolphin shorts and the small child he was carrying in it? We both, you know, always like, I don't know, I've always related to the community, and I feel like I'm a little, even though, you know, I'm sad to say I'm just a hetero woman. I just really understand. I feel like I understand the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you understand anybody on this season of 90 Day Fiancé?
Let's get into this.
Let's go.
So, Vicky, you don't watch, but Sean had you watch the first two or three episodes
of this season.
I was only going to watch the first episode, but I couldn't help it.
But
I
it sucked me in.
I mean, it's three episodes.
She's a newbie.
I'm a very newbie. I always felt like, you know, I felt like my brain would get erased if I watched these kind of shows. And I don't have much brain
left. It does.
And, you know, and it turned out that I am very intrigued. Very intrigued.
Now, your daughter, you said, what's your daughter's name again?
I'm going to tell you something really weird about this. My daughter is Emily Chandler.
Emily,
and
okay.
She's
you just name checked your daughter.
It's okay.
She had to think about it.
You guys, it's the wives. I know it's so bizarre, but she doesn't watch 90 Day much, but she is very busy. Her husband's got a very busy guy, very busy woman, three little boys.
Good going, Emily.
Regardless of her love of any reality TV and how much time she has for it, she loves your show. She's been your fan from the very beginning. The first time that you mentioned Shanika, Sean, on your blog or whatever it is, these
blog.
Ones, I don't know.
Does anybody have a blog anymore? What is this?
Shut up.
1989?
On your live
your
journal.
Your social media journal.
When you used your live journal.
We talked about Sean on MySpace.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
When you emailed Sean on your emails.
Yeah.
Whatever you people
when
call
the carrier
these.
She knew. Pigeon brought the message.
Oh, fuck you all. Anyway, when you mentioned Shanika on one of the social media things,
yes.
My daughter Emily immediately called Shanika. What? Why? How do you know them? She's been one of your biggest fans since you started, and
swear to God, we did not pick them for this.
No,
we're
just
finding this out.
She doesn't. It doesn't matter that she watches or not a lot of reality. She watches some, but she just is like so many of your fans. She just adores you guys.
That's sweet
so
of her.
Much.
We love you, Emily. But maybe
so
she could watch the show with you now if you get her roped in.
Yeah. But you know what? Funny enough, because I hardly ever talk to her because we're always.
Oh, I love that. I should have just.
We're estranged.
I'll tell you why I don't talk to her.
30 years.
Because she sees me. And the minute she sees me come into the room, she hands me her children and runs the fuck out of the way.
You know what?
I'm not kidding you.
My mother would say that's what my sister-in-law does. Yeah. So.
And I get it. I don't blame her. She's exhausted and tired and has a big schedule. Anytime I can unburden her and take my little fellas, happy to do it. But literally, she sees me. She goes, hi, Mom, bye.
Whenever I
see her, I'm thrilled to see her. But, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, with everything that's going on in this world, I am a champion of everything that's reality TV.
Me too.
People were like, reality TV's ruined TV. It is my only escape.
That's what it is for a lot of people.
It's escape. And weirdly, there is a beautiful, and I get heat from this by talking about it. There is an art to it. There's an art to producing it. There's an art to editing it, because it's all storytelling, and it's some of the most precise storytelling that we will have.
Yes.
And weirdly, when that goes awry and when storytelling doesn't work, like we just had when we were watching the Netflix series, The Ultimatum, when storytelling didn't work, we're like, huh, why is this not fulfilling, but everything else is? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're in a culture where reality TV
now. Because it's Nick Lachey.
Exactly. Because it's the Lachey.
Well, Love is Blind worked, but.
Love is Blind worked.
Yeah, Dance Moms really did it for me.
I will say that Sean has been watching the show for a while.
Yes.
And so we're going to get to hear the different perspectives of Sean, who's been watching the show, and we're going to get to weigh in on this season 9 kind of first 3 episodes and cast.
Yes.
And so we just like go for it. So Vicky, knowing nothing about this show, what are your first impressions?
Well, first of all, what's the woman who is supposed to be Native American?
Eve.
Is supposed to be.
Okay. Is supposed to be.
Eve, I'm just saying, more people aren't supposedly Native American on the census of the United States. They used to have like 2,000. Now they have 20 million claimed to be. She might be just so Native American. I love it that she is. But first,
it is overly claimed.
It's like, you know, she's like, I got a divorce and I was, you know, I went on a diet and I went to exercise and I met other people on diets and exercising and they're my friends now. I'm like, ugh, Barf City. And then she meets this 25-year-old guy with this, and she's madly in love and she goes to the airport with roses. And I look at her, I'm like, it's so pathetic. I would never meet a dude with, I would bring like a bottle of Jack, you know? I mean, and I'm so intrigued by the whole thing. And then the woman with the the guy meets her with the van to trick her.
Bilal and Shida.
I love that. Yes. And she calls her mom and her mom's laughing her ass off. The ceiling's falling in. I mean, of course I'm loving this. I feel like a
unintentionally funny.
Unintentionally funny, and it's like, and it's very. I mean, I get it, and I'm afraid. I never wanted to golf because I always thought, I'd like golfing too much, so I don't think I should golf. And I feel like that about 90 Day.
What?
That is a fair comparison.
I'm saying,
she's afraid.
Okay.
She's afraid she's gonna get sucked in because she's afraid she's gonna like golf.
And that's how I feel about 90 Day Fiancé. Now I feel like I'm liking it too much, and I won't be
welcome
able to
the cult, honey.
Thank you. Okay. Well, and that's great. And I don't want to take any more because I want you guys to say all the really great things. Those are my impressions, and I really
wanted to hear your first impressions.
Yes. So there.
I have to ask. What do you think about the girl who is in Kansas, has a baby. Emily. And she brings her hot husband home.
And oh my God.
And she wants her fuck
and
night.
She
what
acts
you
like
both
she's
think?
Not going to have sex in her parents' house every 5 minutes. Oh, we're never going to have sex there
she's
in her
gonna
room.
She's going to be swinging by his dick.
She's going to be throwing that baby over to her mom every 5 minutes.
Emily?
Oh my God. And she the pink underwear. Were these going to look good, honey?
Emily,
honey.
That, first of all, that underwear was straight from Forever 21. She spent, I think, $3 on her lingerie.
I think the
that came from
gave
props.
That,
that came from props.
That's what I said.
I think it
there
came
no
from
way.
Props.
They made her hold those up because I'm a big girl and I know what we wear. Okay, that
felt
is not
like
what we
she
wear.
Could not even she could not pull her hands more than 3 inches apart.
That made me so mad. That freaked me out because I knew that those weren't. I did know that.
Yeah. You know what? I think she may bug me the most. Just because
she's close for me,
she screams irresponsibility.
She really does.
You know, where the family's like, oh, great, we get to raise a child when they've already raised 2 daughters, one with bangs that need a little help.
Jake calls her bangs.
I just call her bangs.
I was like, oh, this sister, like, she needs a nice gay friend that could just.
She does.
Like,
but I do say that sister's going to Harvard in the fall.
I mean, that sister, whatever she's going to do, I don't know.
It's going to be more than Emily, let's be honest.
She's out of that house.
Yeah.
But Emily, you know, it's just all set up for failure. Oh. My last 2 guys were incarcerated.
Jail.
You know, and the parents are just looking at her, and she's like, they're going to bring them here.
There's a general sadness to her parents that can only be achieved by an extremely disappointing child still living with you.
But you always, as a parent, you always think it's my fault. So you have to just stand there and go, I did this, so I'm going to live with this. But my daughter's amazing because of what they saw in me, the trailer woman, they became very successful just because they knew they were on their own and they had to take care of themselves. But there wasn't going to be anybody helping them. But
right.
But I kind of also, do you guys kind of wish that you were also like able to be like Emily, to just be like, just want to get laid all the time and
you
not care about
crawl
shit.
You just and crawl out of bed and say, I want dick.
Exactly.
I mean, baby.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, like, man.
This asshole has teeth and an appetite.
I know.
That poor kid, because he's just like, I just want to meet my daddy.
Not today.
COVID, which doesn't sound like COVID at all.
No.
No.
It was so weird because I asked my husband, because we watched the show religiously together.
Which y'all are a 90-day couple. We're going to talk about that. Yes. Y'all did
they
the whole thing.
They dress up on opening night.
Oh,
they actually
love it.
Order in special dinners and things. And Shonika's like, you and Lou are going to get ready. It's opening night. Get something fabulous.
It's
love
hard.
It how you do her like a Yenta, like full on Yenta from Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah. Vicky suddenly turns into like her. Joan Rivers and my mother.
I nail it. I'm so
and like
good
Lainey
at it.
Lainey Kazan somewhere
I'm
in the middle.
I'm so good at it.
Totally.
So, did you see though, like coming up on this season on, did you see that
she's going to get pregnant again?
She gets pregnant again?
Of course.
Because yes, pointed it out. Yeah.
That's the textbook 90-day fiance.
And she's 29 years old.
Nobody wears a condom. They all get pregnant early.
They all.
No one can find anybody at the airport when they show up. Like, what is that? It's like, I don't see them. They're not coming. Except Jenny, who really was stuck at the airport waiting for Samantha. Shamit, where are we? Shamit? You know, 9 hours later, Shamit shows up with his snaggle tooth. You gotta love it all.
Oh God, your Shamit is kind of like Cher, which I love because there is a Cher. There's a Cher quality. There's a Cher.
Yes.
There's a Cher kind of like wanting and needing in Jenny.
Jenny and Shamit.
Are they your favorite 90-day couple?
Because
you've been watching for a long time.
There's a few, but Jenny and Shamit were so interesting because you just couldn't even believe that whole story. And it's a story that keeps playing out. I mean, that lady just was like in her 60s, uprooted her whole life, was like...
For a catfish.
Right.
For a catfish.
Right.
Let's never forget. He
her
was a catfish
children,
at first.
Her grandchildren. She quit her, like, ended her job, cashed out her life savings, and moved to India.
To India.
And that was, like, I thought was the nuttiest thing. And yet, it's this gift. And she's a nice person, but there's kind of, it's just kind of a pathetic sadness to Jenny that she just was like, well, are you going to marry me or not, Shamit? You know, and he gave her like a Cracker Jack ring, like 25 years later. Like, it was 10 years. It wasn't even 2 years.
But are they happy now?
Funny you should say this.
Y'all, they are showing you the divide of Jenny and Shamit here. Like, Vicky and Sean are showing you.
Yeah.
Like, that is exactly what people say. Yeah.
I funny you should ask that. I ordered for my husband for Valentine's Day. I ordered a cameo from Jenny.
Oh, please.
I couldn't believe I found her, and I was like, oh, gosh.
Full on sorry and everything.
Her cameos are fairly decent.
No, she had some filter where it looked like... I don't know if she really got, but there's a felt, there's something. I believe maybe Jenny got some work done, as everybody who goes on 90 Day Fiance suddenly
the filters filter out the feathers.
Yeah, like we don't even know what Devin's old face looks like.
Yeah, oh gosh.
No.
Devin's face off. Everybody changed. That's also guaranteed. Once you get on this show, you're going to try
and
make
yourself.
You're going to get some work done.
Yes. Yep.
You get some money. You get some work done. But Jenny.
How was her cameo?
She was in a tie-dye sweatshirt. She's in a hoodie.
Interesting.
Like, she's looking, you know.
She's cool.
I think she's trying to look younger for Shamit. Shamit. Am I younger now? So she was super nice. And I purposely... You know, because you have to write for Cameo what you want them to say.
Yes.
And I had done this once before. Pathetically, yes, I'll admit it. Usman, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Lolly.
My first cameo I ever bought was for my husband for our anniversary. And so I had Usman, and my husband and I were always obsessed with baby love, baby love, baby,
baby
love,
love, baby love,
baby love, baby love. And so my husband would come in and be, you know, with his Brazilian accent, he'd go, baby love. Baby love. And so I'd be like, baby love. And so all
baby
I wanted
love.
Him was to say, right?
Because I raw dog my baby love. The American way. No condoms. Literally, Vicky, you don't know this, but this woman...
I love, she said
that she, this guy Usman was married. How old was baby girl Lisa?
Oh, she was in her, like, she's in her 50s, but like she went, 50s. She was like, I will raw dog him.
She said,
and I will show him the American
because
way.
Because she's like, an American, we don't use condoms.
So oh, yeah.
Like, that's why he's going to love me.
She basically proclaimed America the no condom land.
Right. Yeah.
That no other woman would give him in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Finish telling your story.
It was nuts.
Oh, I got this cameo from him. And all we wanted him to say, well, all I wanted him to say was like, happy anniversary, baby love. I wrote baby love like 1,000 times. And all he did was promote his shit.
No.
You know? He was no. like, you
that's
know.
That's so on brand.
It's Usman.
No. That's so on brand.
Soulja Boy in the house. And it was just like, yeah.
Did he ever say baby love?
He goes, you know, Soulja Boy, baby, like he said baby love once, but I wanted him to call my husband baby love, and I wanted him to say this much, but it was just like one big, like, it was like a 3-minute promotion for his music. And I was
gosh.
Like,
eh.
But the Valentine one you showed me, that was really
but
lovely.
Jenny,
she was great.
Jenny said everything I wanted Aww. Her to say, but I had to write, because my husband's name is Rafael, because he's Brazilian, but it looks like
Ooh,
Rafael.
Rafael.
On paper, but Portuguese is fucked up language.
Yeah.
R sound like H's.
Yeah.
So it's Rafael.
Mm-hmm.
And like no one in my crazy family can say
but it's
his
the most
name.
Portuguese is the most beautiful language.
Yeah.
Everything ends with a vowel and
yeah,
it's gorgeous.
But they get really lazy in Brazil, and they abbreviate everything. And so my husband, God bless him, he swallows his Portuguese.
His Portuguese.
Yes.
Well, he is as we. This is how people know your name, because we always say when we talk about Brazil. When we talk about what other countries, Brazil,
DR, or the Dick Riviera, which is Croatia, that whole area, Greece, Macedonia,
but
that's
we
the Dick Riviera.
We say, I steal your joke, and I'm like, well, Brazil, top of the dick chain. And then I say,
it is, boy,
that's because
not,
I never
lying.
Remember Sean Pulaski telling us all, describing what the dick chain
yeah,
was.
Yeah, the top of the Latin food chain, and I was taught that by gay men itself, was a Brazilian man.
Yeah. Ugh.
And just because that was put into my head, I was like, I was so impressionable. I was like, okay, I think I'll go from, you know, John Levy to a Brazilian. And it is true. They are good
You're
looking
like,
people.
I need a new pussy after this. Does anyone know where I can buy a new pussy?
That's true. And he
pussy
needs,
for sale.
Yeah, totally. And it was... you know, they are good looking people over there, but it is true about what you see on 90 Day Fiancé. They're always jealous. They're jealous people.
Really?
It's kind of big in the Latin culture.
Especially the Brazilian women who have been on 90 Day Fiancé have been some of our, let's say, cuckooiest.
Yes, they're always like, I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
Larissa, Jess.
Yes.
We've had a few of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if Carini was jealous.
She's a special case. Because Carini, I think, has mental problems.
Those two were actually my other favorite couple.
Paul and Carini.
Because Paul's Carini, a maniac.
I love you. Five
and
for
I
five.
And I loved how she always called him. She's like, Paul, you lie, Paul.
You lie.
She called him Paul. Paul,
yeah.
You lie, Paul. And
Carini, I just need to go back to my mother, and I need to hold her hair.
Yes.
So,
when that mom gave him, well, this guy was.
You
going,
really should see that scene.
First of all, this guy meets a girl in Brazil, and every guy in America is trying to meet a girl from
just
Brazil.
But unbelievable.
Let me tell you, she doesn't just live in Brazil, Vicky. She lives in
the fucking
Amazon.
Oh my God.
She lives in Manaus, which is, first of all, the most dangerous part of Brazil, period.
It takes three days to get there, Vicky.
Like,
by
Vicky,
boat. You have to go on a fucking Amazon cruise to get there.
I could finish the Torah. Before you could get to where this girl lives in the Amazon. And this guy would never been on a plane, gets on a plane, he takes buses, and then he takes a boat with like deadly mosquitoes, because you know everything in Brazil is trying to kill you, especially in the Amazon. It's
and
designed.
He's a germaphobe. So it's the best television you'd ever want.
And he's dragging these trunks. He doesn't even have real luggage.
Yeah.
He just gets like these packing trunks.
Yeah.
Like
it's
I used
why- to- It's why I tell people, if you've never seen 90 Day Fiancé, you start with Before the 90 Days. Start with Before the 90 Days season 2, and that will be your gateway. Okay. You will not be able to stop.
All right, then.
But I also believe that 90 Days the Other Way is
the best.
Hands down the best. When they take them, and it's the reverse.
And that's after.
It's the reverse where somebody has
from
to
America
go.
From America goes.
Has to go because
to there.
They go they move to another country. But speaking of, so finish the story of Jenny giving you a cameo to your husband.
Well, Jenny, so I put in parentheses how to say his name because I didn't want her to say Raphael. So I spelled it phonetically like Hoff. And you, I mean, you, it, the whole cameo is basically her trying to pronounce his name.
She sent it to me. It's pretty funny. You can watch
it. I mean, she was like, I just like to say, well, this is from your love, Sean, and Samantha and I. And I kept making her say, Samantha. Because Hoffy and I walk
Samantha.
Around the house going, Samantha.
Samantha.
And so I had Submit placed, you know, strategically like I had Baby Love, but she actually said Submit. And my husband has two friends. I started to say my boyfriend. My husband has two friends, which I call them his boyfriends, and they're both Indian. So I feel like all he knows are Indian people. So I had in the cameo her saying, "I hear you know a lot of people here in India," and she actually invited my husband to come stay with her.
Oh,
and
I'm my
like,
God.
"Now we've got to go to India,
yeah,
so we could stay."
Of course.
But she kept just going, "I'm not quite sure. Is it Havy Hafel?" The whole time. Well, she was really, very nice.
It was a full 30 seconds of trying to say the
only,
name. Yeah.
The only thing that keeps her grounded is she has a lesbian daughter, and her daughter has a wife who has made most of our female listenership go gay for her wife.
They're a hot couple.
Yeah.
And they look alike, which is like right on, like par for
course.
It's
definitely a lesbian brand. Yeah.
It was, and the wife that she married looks like she could murder a whole family with one look.
With her hand,
with
one look, yeah.
Yes.
One look, just a look, and we're all down. And
we're all down.
When they had to fly to India to go get, Jenny Schmidt's not going to marry me because he's actually married. I mean, I just thought,
see, Vicky, this is what it sucks you in like this.
Yes, I have heard the stories of this.
The other way is the best.
Is it like this living in a trailer park?
It so much is. That's why I really don't have to watch all these because I live all this.
Y'all, Vicky needs to tell us about trailer park life. She lives in a trailer park in Oceanside, which is, if you don't know it, is a gorgeous place.
It's beautiful.
And we have a 90-day connection to a trailer park. We know that Larry and Jenny still live in a trailer park, and Jenny is still singing karaoke outside in her trailer park with a karaoke machine.
Yeah. Well,
obviously, Larry and Jenny are not getting that cameo money.
They're not.
They're not.
They're
not.
Oh, no.
They're not.
He's still a manager at McDonald's.
After the fans see the show, they'll think about calling him up and getting the karaoke from the trailer.
But
maybe.
Tell us what's the best thing about living in a trailer park.
The best thing about living in a trailer park is you're up on wheels. So you're not like on the ground. You float above the ground. You're not encumbered by drywall because you have paneling. And the aluminum, you know, at sunset. I love walking through the trailer park at sunset.
I love
this,
though.
The sun hits the aluminum and the different paint on the aluminum. It's like a Matisse painting comes alive.
Yes!
So beautiful.
What just happened?
I think my speaker just went boom.
Oh, my God.
And
even the speaker's like, I'm never living in a trailer park.
This is some bullshit.
And everybody lives in a trailer park. We're like, kind of like we're all like in it together, you know?
Yeah.
And so we all help each other and we don't, like the other day, one of my neighbors had she called me up. She goes, can you take my dog? I need to go to the hospital. And I was coming home from Albertsons and I was buying myself some flowers. And I go, you need to go to the hospital? And she goes, yeah, you want me to watch your dog? She said, yes. And I said, do you want to ride to the hospital? She said, yes. And I had these flowers in my hand. I go, I wonder if I should go through the line and pay for the flowers or rush her to the hospital. And I'm like, fuck it, I want these flowers. So I waited and she could have died. I purchased the flowers and I came home. I brought her to the hospital. No shit. I bring her to the emergency room, and another lady from my trailer parks in a different room. I said to the security guard, I go, everybody from my fucking trailer parks in the emergency room tonight. But she wasn't having a stroke. She just forgot to eat that day. But it's just endlessly fun. Endlessly fun. And we always say, you know, the blonde alcoholic with the dog, and we all go,
which one?
It's always the same. Nobody can ever identify the right alcoholic. It's so much fun.
I just have to say, Vicky just said the phrase, I was at Albertsons and I was buying flowers for myself. And that was my favorite part of that story. And because I thought, that's the trailer park Mrs. Dalloway.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's going to Albertsons and buying the flowers herself.
Always use closed napkins.
It's usually the other, was it Dollar Barn or like?
Dollar Barn. You don't even know.
Vicky loves to announce Dollar Tree. She loves to announce when she's
grocery outlet. Oh, you're going to make fun of Grocery Outlet now.
Listen, Shanika, I'm just going to make a fast run at Grocery Outlet. I'm like, why do you have to tell me grocery? Because like, you're not going to.
It's called Grocery Outlet.
Yeah, you're never going to see me at a Grocery Outlet.
She's never
outlet.
Going in. Never. She can't even be in the parking lot.
What's a Grocery Outlet?
Exactly like it sounds. It's a horrifying.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. They're all over the country. They're independently owned. It's a chain. And they sell like old used food and stuff like that nobody wants. And
you have to check
the dates very carefully.
That's like Jenny.
But like food that I could never afford.
Y'all check your XBs.
It's like super high end, like really like very expensive cheeses and stuff that only have a few days left, or maybe not even.
Okay, I'm into this. Yeah, the more you talk about it, I'm into it.
And wines and things like that, things I could never afford, I get at Grocery Outlet.
My mother taught me outlet. I was just telling him. Anytime I'm at the grocery store, I will never buy meat that's on sale, because my mother said, don't ever buy that. Are you kidding me? It's all a racket. You got to buy it because a different meat goes on sale every other week. You buy what meat goes on sale. Don't ever buy anything that's not on sale.
Absolutely.
Come on.
So exactly. You buy that meat that's on sale.
Yes, you buy the meat that's on sale. And that's what you have for dinner that night.
Exactly.
God, that's
always
a depression mentality, but that's how I live.
I mean, I did stand-up comedy as a mom. I started when I was 40 years old. My parents had a carpet store. I made a lot of money. We had a few stores. I worked my 20 years building this business. And all of a sudden, I went, I can't do this anymore. I hate it. And I never was born to do it. It was good to give people a good deal on carpet, but it wasn't my heart, you know? And
you mean you weren't born to give people a good deal on carpet?
I mean, we sold seconds and irregulars, and we were special that way. But
do you miss Berber?
I sure do. I could tell you a little bit about maintaining a Berber. It's not easy. As long as you don't walk on it, you're going to be fine.
I've been with a Berber once or twice.
As long as you don't walk on it, you're fine.
So anyway.
That's awesome, though. That's wonderful.
But so I left that, and I instantly was poor, and I had two daughters. We bought a trailer, and we moved in. And I raised my children on stand-up comedy wages. And so I had to find ways to be, you know. And when I found Grocery Outlet, it just, I mean, my God.
This is a Grocery Outlet commercial.
It's just about to be a grocery. You know, speaking of,
we
said this is going to be like a 30-minute show. Y'all, you're getting a gift because
we're
going to
take
time.
A commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and
the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope.
Back with Sean Belosky and Vicky Barbalak.
Babcock.
Vicky Babcock. Like Cece Babcock from The Nanny.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters of all time.
Oh, God, The Nanny. All right, y'all.
Who should have been a lesbian?
She should have been.
Right. Like Cece should have been a lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And then in the daughter reboot, of Jenny.
She will be.
Exactly. In the reboot, she will be. Okay, so the second half, we want to ask you, what other reality shows are y'all watching into?
You're a fanatic, so Sean's a fanatic.
I watch a lot of reality TV, almost a little too much, but I'm proud. Big Bravo fan.
Okay.
Real Housewives. All of them.
Yeah.
Each one.
I'm not into any of them, and I got roped into Salt Lake City.
We got Salt Lake City, and we do.
Actually, let me preface this.
Yes.
Holy crap. What do they do in Salt Lake City?
It's so interesting because they've
crazy
got...
Crazy shit, Vicky.
They go to jail. Baptize people?
What's interesting to me about that show is they all have... Some of them have the connection to the Mormon faith and how they
some don't
leave it or not, yeah. But it's still connected.
It's fascinating.
But I was talking about it on our show and I was like, oh, I was watching Salt Wives.
And I called it Salt Wives instead
of Salt Lake City.
And I said, Salt Wives sounds like a show set in Maine with fishermen's wives and they're rubbing their hands through salt water because their fishermen husbands have gone out. Yes. And it's like, Ellen Burstyn,
Frances McDormand,
Connie Britton,
Judith Light.
Jennifer Goodwin is the young one.
And then you said Alfie.
And Viola Davis comes in as
you said Alfie Woodard.
Alfie Woodard comes in as the villain. But it's all about they're like, my husband's gone out. I'm going to wait for him, though, because I am a salt wife. And I will wait. And it's all about, I hear the puffins calling me, and the dolls are calling. And it's just this woman from Maine. And I know exactly who she is. She wears sensible clothing.
It's all gray tones.
It's just anyway. Like, she's like, funny, the sea won't let you sleep past 4:30 a.m. It's all just them saying, my children are ungrateful, and I'm waiting for my husband to come back. Ephraim, I will see you across this great briny. And it's all, and it just came, and I want to write a spec script for Salt Lives.
Like, guest starring Reba McEntire.
Yes. Yes. There's so many, and at the end of every episode, they're either overjoyed or annoyed that one of their husbands has died.
So there's
a party.
Give us a takeaway from, I mean, for people who haven't seen it, give us a takeaway from Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
What's going on there?
There's always the same equation for all the Real Housewives.
Yeah.
They're always rich.
Right, yeah.
And it's not necessarily them. Yeah. It's their husbands.
Of course.
Usually.
Some of them have made their own money. Yeah.
Like Heather. Yeah. Heather Gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Some own a business.
But why Salt Lake City? It's like, what?
No,
because
Salt
there's
Lake,
a lot of money so, in the Mormon. Vicky.
There's a lot of money. Also,
it is the MLM capital
of the world.
Is the
Marriott family on it? Is the Marriott's on it?
The Marriott family is based in Salt Lake City, but
are they on the show?
I don't think so. But
they're not on the show.
It is the multi-level marketing capital of the
multi-level
US.
Marketing, and also I believe the top three plastic surgery capital in the country is Salt Lake City.
Well, I joined the Mormon Church in high school, so I go to the prom.
Shut the fuck up!
Are you going to the prom?
I got baptized because I fell in love with Kate Christensen, and so
what?
Yeah,
what's happening?
I just loved you.
You didn't know the story.
I mean, I kind of do.
I just
sometimes I just you know
I joined the Mormon Church.
I wanted to go to Bob's stories out. For like 2 years, and then they found out the Relief Society came to see if your house was clean, and I couldn't stay in it anymore. I'm all up for anyone else who's in it. I have total respect. Wonderful people.
Respect. That what? Jerk.
So you're Bravo. You're a Bravo bitch.
I'm Bravo. I'm Bravo, and I'm TLC. But TLC, I believe, has become like the freak show channel. They have 100%. They have taken the reins from. Do you remember when it was A&E?
Oh, yeah. A&E was bonkers.
A&E was Intervention. It was Psychic.
My Strange Addiction was
psychic
on there.
Kids, Obsessed.
Psychic Kids.
Did you ever see Obsessed?
Yes, Obsessed.
Where my favorite Obsessed was with this guy, and his name was Scott, and he was this gay guy who lived in Palm
Springs.
Oh, my
God.
Springs.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm talking about.
We're like the only ones who watch this show, but
and
yes.
They have, and so Obsessed is people who have OCD.
Yes.
Terrible OCD, and they bring in a cognitive behavioral therapist.
This is early 2000s, mid-2000s. Yeah.
But Scott was this architect, you know, like he was an architect.
Yes.
Architect in Palm Springs, and he had this immaculate house, and he was afraid of germs.
So gay.
So gay and so afraid of germs, he didn't even have a trash receptacle.
No.
He said he
could
had
not
to
have
say
it.
Receptacle
he
in his
He did say
house.
Receptacle.
And they bring in this cognitive behavioral therapist, and she comes in, and she knows she's got to deal with Scott, and she goes and she goes, you know, Scott, I have to use your bathroom. It just so happens to be I'm on my period, and
he starts losing his shit.
His gay head severs and shoots into space. You can physically
just pops off.
You can probably still see it flying, and she goes into his bathroom. Right, uses it. Comes out and she brings out the hand towel that she used to wash her hands.
Yes.
And she hands it to Scott. I shit you not. And she says, Scott, I want you to take this hand towel and touch it. He's like, I can't. She said, Scott, take the hand towel. He takes the hand towel. He touches. He says, Scott, now I want you to touch your face.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm getting anxiety. So then she says, Scott, I need you to touch your face. He touches his face, and she, I'm not making this up. You can watch it. She said, Scott, what do you feel? And he says, I feel vaginal secretions.
Yes, this happened. 100%.
Endometriosis. And fibroid juices. And I'm like,
fibroid
oh my God.
Juices, yes.
Scott has a lot of vaginal problems for a guy.
It's all pussy phobia.
But oh God. Cut to years later, I get a call from one of my friends. And he goes, hey, Sean, I'm at my house in Palm Springs. I have someone here who would like to talk
Shut the
to
fuck
you.
Up. No. Shut the fuck
no.
up.
No.
Don't.
And it
Shut
was like,
up.
Is this Sean? And I'm like, hello? And I knew right away. He goes, you may know me. And I'm like, Scott?
Wait, did you talk about him in your
Because you've been talking about your act because it's ridiculous.
He knew. Yeah, because I had talked about him. And I go, is this vaginal secretion?
And gay news gets around.
Is he better now?
I didn't ask him that because
Of course he's not. He just bought a new house.
My friend said he was really lovely and really easy to work with. I was like, okay, but just don't try and throw anything away
just
at his house.
Just don't put a vagina around him. Yeah. No.
Come on. I mean, how mean to go, I'm on my period. I'm going to use your bathroom. I mean,
Part of that show is to, they use what they call exposure therapy.
Yeah.
But it's, it is exposure therapy. But it's also mean-spirited for the camera.
Great
there.
TV, great
because
TV.
They have to amp it up. They have right. to amp yeah. it up for
As
television.
All and mean producers do, and that's
horrible.
That is the basis. Yeah.
They
reality
are
TV.
Taking advantage of people's
soulless producers.
Ugh. Yeah.
And so A&E was just always kind of this freak show channel. TLC has taken the reins. They are queen.
Oh
of,
my God! Yeah, they
like,
are.
Because they have.
We watch all those shows and cover them on our Patreon.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, what? Oh, I can't.
I watch.
No. I can't okay, watch so someone popping pimples
every night.
Not for me.
Every night I watch her to relax myself and go to bed.
I think
the only
you
reason
need
I married my second
help.
Husband is because he got a pimple on his dick once.
Oh.
And I popped it, and it was the most wonderful experience of my life.
God. Oh my God. You thought that the Mormon thing.
A white head on his white head, if you will.
Oh my God. I still remember it. It was the best thing about him.
What did you say, Vicky Spice, y'all?
Oh,
she looks like Ariel sitting on that rock looking at Aaron.
Vicky just went somewhere.
My God.
So, but they also have, do you watch Smothered?
I've watched a little bit of Smothered.
Extreme Sisters.
Body Parts.
Oh, I haven't seen
Body Parts. Body Parts is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Have you watched Mommy, Why Am I a Hunchback? Have you watched that
one? Shut the fuck up. That's a show.
That's a show.
But it should be.
Oh, I believe we believe you.
But that's next.
I was going to say, Mommy, Why Do I Have a Tail? Was going to be my other one, too.
Because in Extreme Sisters, where Jake, we call it the cringe tier on our Patreon, because Jake named it that whenever there was two twin sisters, and one of them started her period, and the other one they were wearing clothes, but the other one laid down, sat on the couch. And
It's time for Pang Pang.
They call it Pang Pang.
Pang Pang? You want to do Pang Pang? And all of us were like, what's Pang Pang?
And so she lays her head on her sister's lap so she can smell her period, so that way she'll start her period,
so they're cycling
together.
No.
Yes. Where are they?
Look at Vicky.
Where are they? Where are they? Like West Virginia? Are they in West Virginia?
They're in Pacific Northwest.
Pacific
Seattle-ish.
Okay. Oh, anyway, it's so good.
They are so codependent and fucked up.
Extreme Sisters.
I have a hard time watching
it. There's twins that share a husband.
I get sick to my stomach when I watch it.
They share a husband.
Oh, my God.
He has to do the same thing to one that he does to the other.
Same time.
Including, but they don't go into it. Including fucking. So the sisters say they never do things together, but one sister literally is laying there,
bang her,
railing the other one five times, and then he has to move
I'm counting, you didn't bang me five times.
But we always want to know, you can only come once. I mean, I guess you can come twice.
No, you have to, but like you need a little time.
I guess he does first, and then like 10 minutes later, finishes up
Do they like flip a coin to see who it's first.
Oh, my God.
But you were right. They have taken the reins from A&E.
It's like A&E looks
that
like
makes that, that
NBC
other one was,
compared to...
That other show was the tame one with the guy, the horrible guy with all the wives. What was that called?
Sister Wives.
That's Cody.
Oh, we haven't watched...
That's nothing now.
That is a soap opera of the absurd, and I got into it.
I did too.
I was watching it I would fall to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I discovered, because that is actually the evolution of women's rights in a small microcosm.
You know what the thing about
amazing.
The only reason I've ever thought it was a good idea to be a sister wife was
I'd be up for
there's one reason. You all lived in the same house and you fucking shared the cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And these bitches lived in five
and
different
cooking.
Houses. And they had to clean their own fucking houses.
And they had their own bedrooms.
To me, that was so stupid. If you're going to be with one dick, everybody share the cleaning.
And be in one house.
Yeah, in one house.
That's what
you could relax.
I agree.
And it just was like so stupid.
I agree.
It drove me nuts.
Now, you watch Project Runway, right?
Vicky gives a very persuasive argument for polygamy.
I'm a huge... Yes. Of course I do. A little less time on your knees.
Until you have to go to Grocery Outlet.
Go to Grocery Outlet, so...
Shanka, yes. Someday we will go. And you will be so
impressed. No, you're not going to go. Jake's going
to
go.
I'm going to go to Grocery
Outlet.
I will, Vicky, I will go to Grocery Outlet with you.
I want to take you on your virgin trip.
As long as there's meat on sale, because I will not buy meat full price.
You know what? Meat.
Ever.
We'll talk later about what you're looking for at Grocery Outlet. It's high-end shit.
It's the Grocery Outlet tutorial.
Okay, yes. Whatever. But I will tell you about Project Runway, though. My daughters and I, we had very little money in our trailer, but we watched Project Runway. And so what we did was every time the season opened, we had a party on the opening night of the season. We had my daughters and all their friends and their moms would come over to our trailer.
Aww.
And we emptied out the trailer of all of our furniture and we put tables on the walls and we had challenges we have an opening season challenge, like paper towels, coffee filters, whatever. and it was like, I would dress as Heidi Klum and I had a blonde wig and everything. And one of my comedy friends would always play the part of Tim Gunn. And so we did it year after year after year. And the girls got older and graduated high school. We had graduation ones and everything. So when I went, got America's Got Talent.
I was just going to say, you met Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum was the judge. And
what'd
so,
you say to her?
Well, I was trying to keep it together. And then one night, I'm in an elevator. I get in an elevator. I think I'm alone. She's in a gray dress. I don't see her. Me and her and her bodyguard.
Das Vicky, yeah, what are you doing here?
We're in an elevator together, the three of us. And I've been like on the show for 5 or 6 weeks. And she's been laughing at my jokes. She's been very nice. And this was my opportunity to say to her. I go, oh my God, Heidi Klum. I thought I'm like really cool, but no. Oh my God, Heidi Klum! We've been doing Project Runway in my trailer for years, and I just met you. Oh my God, I got my and then she pressed a button, boom, and she and her
bodyguard
exited the elevator. Oh, and then God. The next day, she is walking.
Maybe
near
eugenics
me in the
was a good idea.
And I looked at her, and she looked at me. Honest to God, you guys, she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she went like this. She kind of like smiled at me and goes, like, literally, let me know. Look, I know you're an asshole, and I still like you anyway. She like kind of gave me an acknowledgement that whatever you did last night in the elevator when you flipped out was okay. She let me know that, you know, like dolphins like let each other know.
No,
and it was very
people
clear.
People who have had relationships with her say she's nice.
And she was very clear that she was super nice, and she just had to leave the elevator because she was terrified. So, and then the rest of the season she was fantastic. So,
but have you guys ever met somebody? Because I am so excited. Like, I know there's a lot of celebrities out there, but it's like, it's not like an actor that's gonna do it for me, but anybody from reality
or country music,
lose my mind.
I have to say, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but
say it.
We talked to, I don't know if you watched the show, but we did it today. We talked to Michelle Bolero on our show.
We did on a phone call.
Who does Pig Royalty. And she is the kind of, she was the villain of season one of Pig Royalty.
I haven't seen that show yet.
You would get in that show because
being from called?
It's called Pig Royalty.
It's the best show.
It's about pig shows.
The professional pig showing. Professional pig show in San Antonio.
Pig showing? Oh my God, the chicken showing documentary was amazing. The
chicken people.
Showing, chicken people is my favorite show I've ever seen.
It's but like that. Pig show. Love this. The quote-unquote villain Bolero girls, they all show pigs, or they showed pigs, and they were champions, and they all wear cheetah print when they show.
Oh, no. But,
and they have a rival.
What's this on?
Discovery Plus.
Discovery Plus. But I was, and it's on Animal Planet now, you can see it.
The first season.
But I was nervous.
I was nervous
about talking to her. Because mostly because we've talked a little shit about them in previous episodes.
A little?
Well, we may have mentioned that she is a giant.
When she gets angry.
We think when she's angry, like Maleficent turns into a dragon, Michelle Bolero turns into a giant pig who breathes fire people over people and shits on everyone.
And pig shits on everyone. She has a great name.
I'm pretty sure she's heard that, but she was very kind to us today.
Awesome.
And I kept waiting for her to say, I know what y'all have said about me. But you're right. It's the reality people who I get nervous about.
Yeah. Well, I once went to see Kelly Clarkson at the Hollywood Bowl. And I love like American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
I
so
love like, you know, because and So You Think You Can Dance. Like I feel like
we just
went
and saw David Archuleta like 2 months ago for Christmas or in December. And we both cried like babies.
I clutched my pearls. I clutched my pearls the whole time.
Oh, but you know, you see these people and you feel like because they're on a reality show competition like Vicky, you feel like
you
know them.
Yeah.
And so even as big as Kelly Clarkson has become, as like how famous she is and how well she is.
She still says ducka, ducka, ducka.
She's a singer.
Yeah.
But there I was, and we got to, like, there's a little meet and greet you could do beforehand. And so my gay friends had arranged all this, and they had all...
Because gays love Kelly Clarkson.
And we were all in a line, and I got over there, and finally I'm standing there, and she's like, hi, Sean. Nice to meet you. She goes, you smell so good. I'm like, And I'm like, thank you, thank you. I love American Idol. You were the best American Idol winner. You're so great. You're great. And she's like, thank you. You just smell so good. And I was like, don't say it. Don't say it. And I was like, it's a vanilla body spray from Walgreens. And, and that was, you know,
so not Shanika. She doesn't buy anything that's not from Saks Fifth Avenue. You know, I don't even know like, why she was wearing
and she's
a vanilla
like,
body spray.
Didn't need to know that, oh, but God. Let's take I a
mean,
picture.
Yeah. I mean, I heard all my, I saw all my gay friends gasp and I felt like I broke. Like, I don't know why I felt like Kelly.
Let me send you a bottle, Kelly.
I felt like Kelly Clarkson was trying to break me down, and she did. And
she probably went to Walgreens and bought it.
I will say, your gay friends will always tell you when you went beyond the pale.
Yeah,
they will always. They are your barometer.
They are your barometer.
Yeah, but I lose it around reality stars.
Have people lost it around you, Vicky?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
nobody.
No, because
come
wait,
on, you have
you
to be recognized,
10, right?
Vicky.
Yes.
No. Nobody like loses it.
But
yes,
right,
they
do. Oh, put
but
your
they approach
up.
You. They
the wives
totally
kick
approach
in.
You.
Use the mic to talk. Wait, but you were top 10, right?
Yeah, but it's mostly the very best part for me is like people will come up to me and they'll say, "Oh, you know, I will wear a sleeveless top because you're so fat and you wear nothing," and it makes me happy.
Vicky, I mean, that's no, not all people say.
The thing is, Vicky, I don't. You're not fat.
Oh, come on. Anyway, the bottom line is I really love I feel like my story that was on AGT is like a woman who was 40 years old who decided to sell her parents' carpet store that she built
yeah.
for 20 years and tell her daughters we're moving into a trailer, we're going to be instantly poor and we're going to be shopping at thrift stores and people are going to be donating food to us for the next 20 years so I can do my dream. And the AGT showed people that. Like, Shanika always goes, I'm like, I didn't even know I was tragic and pathetic till I was on AGT. I just thought I was living my life. And but what happened was people, like, saw my story, and it is my life. But it was just, for me, I don't give a shit about how much money I have. I couldn't have sold carpet for one more day after I started stand-up. I loved it so
much. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got to do what I love to do. People see it and they go, wow. One woman, I remember like 4 months into my tour after AGT, she goes, Vicky, I saw you. I quit my job. I started my own business. I made $68,000. Like, I'm like, you bitch. I'd like to make $68,000, motherfucker. And so...
Uh-oh, you got poodle
coffee. I just have to say, though, what's interesting, though, is what happens when the color enters your life when you're doing something you love to do.
That's a great way to put it.
It's like Pleasantville.
Yeah,
where we're like, I've been working in a shit job for so long. And we have so many people reach out to us and say, I quit my job because you guys said... Don't do something that you don't feel valued and you don't love to do. Or just people say, you know, I just decided to do this and I just got to tell you guys about it. And it's such a wonderful thing to hear, even if, you know, we don't have to do anything, but people just tell us, my life, I feel better about this now.
It's
or
great.
When people say, yeah, thanks for saying this about shitty relationships. I just left my husband last night, and I'm happy about it, and my life has color now, you know, or something like that. And it's just, when that happens, it's such a change for people, and it's so good to be able, so I'm sure those people who heard you can think the same thing. They like, so I'm sure you inspired a lot more people than you
she
think.
She did, and I see it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I hang with Vicky or C, or when she's recognized, people, you know, Vicky really is America's sweetheart. She's really a beloved person, and people feel like they can relate to her because Vicky's just nice to everybody, and she always has been, you know, always been kind and good to people. And like when I went to go watch her in the live tapings, I was so nervous for her.
That's hard
like,
to do.
I was dying.
Scary.
You know, and I feel like because I've watched so many of those. You know, where I've judged on American Idol. I feel like I'm a judge of So You Think You Can Dance.
Of course,
I'm
yeah.
a judge on The Voice. I'm a judge. I was a judge on X, you know, in my head, I'm like, I'm a judge of what's talented and she's talented. And then I'd see these people go up and people, you know, would clap for them. But, you know, they'd give them the sob story. And it was just like now you just can't be talented now. Now you got to have the sob story. And Vicky's story wasn't, you know, even
it's
compared.
Not a sob story. It's just real.
Right.
I didn't know it was tragic till I was on the show. And so, but the thing was, what they didn't know, what they kept trying to make it out was like, oh, you've been so pained the last 20 years, having no money, living in a trailer. But they kind of like quiet it down. Don't emphasize this, but you know, that's saying, you know, any day of fishing is better than a bad day of fishing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
because have you regretted it one day?
And I mean, comics who like complain about comedy, oh, it's so hard. I'm like, fuck, go sell carpet, little asshole.
But that's
20
the thing.
Years. Yeah. I mean, you don't know. I mean, feel like if you do something you love, you're so lucky to do it. And it doesn't matter about money or outcomes. It just matters you found something you love to do.
Yeah.
And you could be still working at the carpet store.
Oh, every time
and
I
you'd
see
have
a,
money.
Every time I drive by a carpet store, I'm like, not that it's not a bad thing to do. I mean, my father really enjoyed it, and I get it. It's very honorable.
But we're all different.
Putting flooring in is a good thing. You make people's homes beautiful. It just wasn't my heart.
It wasn't
your
thing. No, I worked at a law office for 18 years. I finally quit this last year.
Right on.
So it's kind of like, you know, almost 20 years.
And you try to help people in your work as much as you. I mean, I did. I mean, we sold seconds and irregulars. We were very special.
I'm not made to work with people or for people.
Because Poodle's that bitch that says something.
Because I need to be my own boss, and I just can't.
Then I suggest
the thing
you don't wait tables.
Our carpet store was in the day before Yelp.
Girl,
when there was
I've
no
been
Yelp.
A server.
Oh, no Yelp.
You could treat customers how you wanted
Holy
to.
Holy fuck.
My parents got drunk every night, fell asleep on the carpet rolls. We had a liquor store next door to the shop. They never shut the doors. People come in the morning. My parents were asleep on the carpet rolls.
You know what? I used to take naps on those carpet rolls when I was a kid. They're very comfortable. It's interesting what you say.
You can bang people on the pad rolls.
There you go.
I don't want to talk about it.
Do you know what? That when he worked at the bookstore in West Hollywood, he would keep the keys, and at night he'd bring in his tricks into West Hollywood and bang them all the day.
There's nothing better than having sex with
Cheers
you
to that. You can
fuck them in the gay bookstore.
It's nothing better than having sex where you work. There's nothing
thank
better.
You. And everyone's like sitting there like the next day eating where you just banged your trick the night before.
Yeah.
But no, my thing was like I was a server for a long time and I
so
did it
I.
because I loved the thrill of it and I loved the drugs that I did while I was doing.
Oh my god! Oh, well, good for you. I wish I'd had those.
Well, it's the only way to keep doing serving after a while.
Yeah,
Because you just quit otherwise.
Well, right. I used to work at Neiman Marcus in the restaurant downstairs
Thank
in Beverly
God.
Hills.
Oh, fuck.
Thank
Vicky,
God she did.
Vicky Barbalak would come in her leopard. She'd come and she'd sit down. And then I decided like, you know, and I had friends that would come in, all these comedian friends and people. And I'd be like, okay, sit down. And then I would just steal champagne.
I just thought she was bringing me wine that people didn't finish. Turns out she was getting me brand new glasses.
Yeah. I'd go to the chefs. I'd talk to the pastry chef, put a little time
Amen.
In. And then she would get like this 5-star treatment because I knew how hard she worked. I knew how hard my friends worked.
Especially at Neiman's.
Yeah.
You have a little more levity.
They were good for it, I think.
But yeah. I did have this this boss, Jim. James. James.
James.
And James, you know, he sounded like this. I don't know why he was affected, but he did. And James, you know, God bless. James, he liked the sauce a little bit. And one time, and we all had to wear all black. So I wore a black shirt, black pants, black apron. You know, we're covered head to toe in black.
I used to fuck someone who worked at Neiman's restaurant.
Good for you with bar downstairs.
Bar Verde, right there.
There you go.
Bar Verde at the Nordstrom thing. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had
look at Jake's face right now. I wish this was on camera, you guys.
Not
his
a bad
eyes
dick.
Are bulging out.
I'm going to say that now.
I believe you.
Not
his
a bad
eyes
dick.
Are bulging to
I
a
know,
happy memory.
I know that restroom. Let's just say that.
Anytime this manager like overheard me, and I don't know how he was always kind of like around me. And I remember one day, like I was so busy, and I'm giving the specials, and that you know I've just delivered like 7 specials we had. And the people go, well, are you our waiter? And I go, well, I'm not Zorro. And then I didn't know James was behind me and he pulled me aside. He goes, Shauna. First of all, my name's Sean. I've worked here 5 years. And he goes, Shauna, you can't tell a customer you're not Zorro. I'm like, I just thought it was a stupid question. And I thought at least it was kind of funny.
I'm not Zorro.
Yeah.
Y'all, we need to find out. What's your podcast? Let's talk about this now.
Yes.
We beat around the bush
so much for
long enough.
We said we're going to talk about 10 million other things that we didn't, so we'll have you on again.
I want to talk about Trailer Park Diaries, which sounds like something that I may have participated in my youth.
You might be in one of our diaries.
I might be.
I think that we're having so much fun doing this podcast because we started during COVID when we didn't have anything to do. And so we had this idea, and we went to All Things Comedy, Al Madrigal, our friend.
Al Madrigal, cool.
Yeah. And yeah.
Former Daily Show correspondent.
Yeah.
And he came up with the idea. He goes, We said we'd like to be in the trailer park base because we sort of thing.
Because you live what you
well,
live
she lives in.
In
Beverly Hills, and you can't do a podcast about Beverly Hills. Anyway,
no one gives a shit about a podcast in Beverly Hills.
So Al came out. I like diaries. So I started sourcing all these diaries. I literally went on my social media. Does anybody know any diaries? I literally did a thing in my trailer park, in our trailer park newsletter. Does anybody have any diaries? I got some amazing diaries, and so. We sourced these diaries and then we
real diaries.
And then we imagined that Shaunika moved into my trailer.
Yeah,
park.
And keep imagining because
unfortunately, so many of our friends and
she's
her friends
Beverly Hills
thought
she.
That she really did. I'm like, not without a rail well, car escort would she move into a trailer
hair.
Park.
She's not no, going to a
so no. the basis of the podcast is basically it's kind of a half scripted.
Sorry, y'all. Don't pull over. As we say on our podcast, don't pull over.
Don't pull over. Good that idea. Is the first don't pull over we had in so long because we're at Matt's house.
Because we moved
tonight.
To Jake's house and it's quiet, but he lived on like fucking, we can
La Brea
say it now.
And Beverly.
Branson.
You know where that like, what was that junk store place called?
Nick Metropolis.
Goodwill?
Oh. Nick Metropolis, right by the Sugarfish on La Brea.
Right.
Yeah. So we like, anyway, y'all,
right,
don't
right
pull over.
Right there was so much like ambulances, but now he lives
fancy.
On.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Talk about the show, the premise of the show you were saying.
Trailer Park Diaries.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast on all podcast platforms.
Yeah. It's a half scripted and improvised.
Half improv. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes episode to episode because we read through a diary and we're following along this diary that happens.
So each season is a new diary. So this is our first season. So we have a diary this season and we read a couple pages each episode and then we discuss.
She's a teenage girl this season, the diary that we found.
Yeah. And then we discuss what's, you know, we think is going to happen and whatnot. And then we kind of relate, you know, our friendship in our lives. Yes.
We speak of things we shouldn't speak of, just like we've done on
this
show. That's
the best podcast.
Like you guys know. You know.
Yeah. We don't have an episode that goes beyond where we, the past us, that we don't say something we shouldn't say.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Your family and friends are embarrassed on every week.
Oh, my mother. Oh,
yeah.
Matthew, your show is so funny, but why y'all so nasty?
Why do you have to say that?
My brother
goes, did you have to say that?
Because my sister-in-law listens, and my brother's like, you told that story? Oh, shit.
Oh, y'all don't pull over again. That's me.
God,
we have to say don't pull over because our listeners
don't
were listening
over.
To our podcast and they're in their cars and they thought the police or ambulance and they started pulling over.
This is totally just LA traffic.
It's just LA bullshit.
Don't worry.
So you've
fine.
Done, how many episodes are in this first season?
We're
12.
12. And today we hit, today we hit 7.
Yeah, we were at episode 7 came out today.
I listened to 60,000 times, so our numbers are really looking good.
And our next season diary is, I mean, this one is a little bit kind of like adventure, mystery, place
really
in the 1970s. And then the next one is a little bit 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
So it does
Yo,
get...
They have 3 seasons planned out.
we only have 2, you know, but as long as All Things Comedy was stupid enough to give us another second season.
Way to throw them under a bus.
Here you go, Vicky. Have some wine.
Okay, guess what? I hate everything I do. I hate everything I do. I always have. I never appreciate anything I ever do, but I love our show.
Oh,
I told Shaunika this morning, I go, because it drops on Tuesday. Today happens. I don't know what, when you guys are listening to it, but we're here on a Tuesday night in this bitchin' apartment in L.A. And I said, it dropped this morning. I said, Shanika, I was getting on a plane from Las Vegas to come here to do this show. And I said, Shanika, did you hear Seven? She said, yes. I said, I really like it. I really like our show. It's very unlike any other podcast because we're reading for this diary. We're talking about it. And week to week, we don't know what's going to happen. And we recorded it so long ago, we forgot what's going to happen. Yeah. So when I'm listening to it, I'm like, this is fun.
I think it's a really smart and but also just immediately we all have had diaries in our life, whether you've kept them forever or whether you've done it for a little bit.
Yes.
And I'm just when you said you're reading people's diaries, I went because
and
it's
there's
just
an element so of private thing.
You're not going to be it's like extreme truth and you're reacting to extreme truth.
Yeah, what's
right
more truthful than
moment?
A diary? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we feel like such terrible whores for doing it.
You know what? Welcome to
Welcome to the shit show of podcasting.
Yeah. Well, podcasting is Whoreville. Stop one. Right. Like
Stop
you're on a train.
One.
It's a lot of work. I mean,
Whoreville.
It's a lot of work, especially when, you know, there's scripts and there's things involved and, you know.
What are these scripts you speak of?
Well, but the thing is what we had to do is we had to source the diary. We had to, you know, kind of edit the diary because you can't like, you can't, we couldn't do 300, 400 pages. We had to edit it. But it was really fun to do. And
did you record in a studio?
In All Things Comedy.
Oh.
Studio.
You're way more professional than we are.
We recorded
there's
all these
in my living
men
room.
Balls around and me and Shanika. There's a few other chicks in that room, but not that many.
Wow.
So we're
not,
having fun.
Not a lot
and they're,
of,
they're
not
going,
a lot
don't
of
talk so much. We're like,
comedy.
Okay, we will. But they've been really wonderful. And it
they
was all
they
Al's
don't
idea.
Talk so much.
It was all Al's idea. And they've been more than great. And we're very excited about our, you know.
Well, where
next
can everybody
season.
Find you?
Everywhere. And we'll come over and read it to you. Just call us.
Trailer Park Diaries.
I'll drive over.
Trailer Park Diaries,
wherever
season
Wherever you
one.
Listen to podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Trailer Park Diaries. Now.
What about social media? But
Trailer
now, for sure,
Park
Sean,
Diaries.
Do you talk about now? You are always Instagramming 90 Day or TikToking or where can people find you on some of the social medias?
Well, where you cannot find me is Grocery Outlet, but where
oh God, you're missing.
I'll
it,
be
honey.
With you at Grocery Outlet.
Where
Vicky.
You
Jake,
can
we're going
find
together.
Me, you can find me on all social media platforms at Sean Pawlowski
with a W, SHAW, y'all.
Yes. And you can find me watching 90 Day Fiancé with my husband because he's just as involved as I am on the show.
I mean, we've got to have y'all
and
back.
You can
we
also
didn't talk about
PEL on social media Polish. Meltdowns. Can we talk a little bit about
social media meltdowns?
Talk a moment about
that.
Social media meltdowns. Shanika came up with this idea a few years ago, and it's taking LA by storm. It's social media.
It sure
melt-
is.
No, it is. It actually is.
Yeah, because it's at the improv at the lab.
Hold
bitch.
On.
You're so.
I think
you know. Hey, don't tell Shanika. Hey, Shanika. Here's my favorite thing. Shanika.
I don't need you.
Here's my favorite thing. Here's my favorite thing.
What?
Here's my favorite
Disney
thing.
Plus.
Shanika.
You want it?
Shanika. Shanika, you look so beautiful. You look so beautiful today.
Shut up, Vicky.
You cannot compliment this woman.
No,
she'll throw it back to you and make and you know what?
She's Jewish.
She cannot handle a compliment.
So I've
social
heard.
Media meltdowns is amazing. It's a fantastic show
Thanks,
that she
Vicky.
Created, and everybody
also,
talks.
One of like it's a female ran comedy show.
And it's all
I mean, you. The genesis so, is you.
Everybody's on the show that's
what
in
are we
LA.
Talking about?
All these comics. Everybody wants to be on it. Everybody...
Did Vicky do Molly in the bathroom? What happened? What are we talking about now? Social media meltdowns?
Yeah.
I'm talking about social media meltdowns. I want to mention it because it's such a great show.
It is a great show.
And
it's a fun show. What she's trying to say is I have a show where comedians perform other people's real social media posts and
yes,
they perform
that's,
it.
Oh, it's
so
really
okay,
funny.
Sean,
that's
you
genius.
You guys should do that show.
Well, I'd like to have them, but they're very busy.
I know, it's hard to get.
I would love to have
I did a virtual one, but I would do it. I think
no,
it'd
let's,
be fun.
Let's
what
do
you
it.
Read
I'm,
is great.
I'm in for it. I'm in for it.
I'd love to have
you.
I'm in for it.
Can I do it tonight? They do it.
Can I?
Are y'all doing? Go ahead, Poodle.
Can I choose? Can I suggest? Possibly any Kristen Stewart meltdown that you possibly have.
Anything, God.
Because
anything. Brilliant.
She's had like three or four of them.
I
and
love it.
Is that the improv, right?
You yeah, said? The yeah. Lab, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, are y'all doing stand-up anytime soon?
We're doing stand-up all over the place.
Tomorrow.
I'm going to be in Atlanta this summer, and I'm also doing the, I'm hosting the AGT live show
in Las Vegas at the Luxor. Often on, I'm the guest host. So anyway, that is a really good show.
When is that?
Well, I'll be there through.
Don't go when she's not there, is what she's saying.
But soon, it's now, right?
I'm there now. I'm there through Friday of next week, and then I get my new dates, and everything is on Vicki Barbalek comedy.com.
VickiBarbalek.com.
Vicki Babcock.
And you're on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I'm on everything with my name, Vicki Barbalek, but I wish it was Vicki Babcock. It would have been so much easier.
We need to do this again because we didn't even talk about your real 90-day relationship. We didn't even get to that.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about.
She's got a big dick Brazilian husband.
And we were going to talk about, but we'll save it for now. We didn't even talk about the story of you and this story about you and Walmart. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll definitely have you on.
We'd love to come back. Thank you for
Sissies.
Having us.
Trailer Park Diaries.
Trailer
Download
Park Diaries.
Wherever you listen
season
to podcasts.
Season one.
What a way to start the month of May collabs. This was a good idea, Poodle, and you thought of it.
I'm drunk.
All right, everybody.
I think Vicki is too.
Okay.
too
I gave Poodle Kate Hudson vodka, and I gave Vicki Butter Chardonnay. So we got to go, y'all.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much for coming. Vicki will be the Luxor, and I'm going to be in the alley behind my apartment tonight.
All right. We'll see you
and
next
Sean
time.
And Sean will be wherever
there is
gay guys.
Emily, that my daughter Emily, you might have had to live in a trailer for 11 years and have no money, but I got you a moment with Reality Gaze, little bitch.
Yeah.
We love you, Emily. You're a dick pig, and
we love you.
Thank you,
Emily.
Yes.
Bye, y'all.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.